And we'll pass your forms around. Brother Chad, if you could help out. Let you do this side. I'll do this side over here. There should be enough for everybody to get one. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Mm-hmm. 1, 2. I don't have enough. So let me give you this. Brother Chad, I need 2. And then I don't have any for back there, so. There you go. Does everybody get one? Okay. Song of Solomon, chapter 1, lesson 4. And this is our third lesson on the art of attraction. And these are some closing thoughts on attraction. So if you'll look at verse number 1 of Song of Solomon, chapter 1, and we'll get started. The Bible says, "The Song of Songs, which is Solomon's, let him kiss me with the kisses of his mouth." Well, that tells us that there's nothing wrong with being attracted physically to the one that you're interested in. As a matter of fact, it's probably a good idea if there is attraction in that way there. Obviously, in the text here, the couple is reflecting back who, after they were married, are reflecting back at those things that attracted them to the one that they were going to be married to. And so physical attraction is a part of it. However, today we're going to be talking about how physical attraction can be deceptive. So we have to be careful about that. And that's why we look beyond the physical part. We have to. We have to learn how to look beyond the physical part to find out what really makes somebody a special person. Look at verse 2 again. The Bible says, kiss me with the kisses of his mouth. And then look what it says. For thy love is better than wine. The last part of verse 3, therefore do the virgins love thee. The last phrase of verse 4, the upright love thee. You'll find the word love used a lot because this tells us about this young lady. It tells us that she is hungry for love. And as men, fathers, and gentlemen, we need to understand that it's our responsibility to love and also protect our young ladies because they're vulnerable. As a result of this hunger for love that they have, they're vulnerable to people who will manipulate them in the area of love by deceiving them. To think that they're loved. And we have to protect. We need to protect our young ladies. We need to, put that boundaries around them. And instruct them. But the best way that you'll protect our gentlemen, the best way we'll protect our young ladies, if we're speaking of daughters, or somebody that you have authority of, is that she receives all the love that she needs from you. Brother Chad, you're going to have that little baby girl, one of 10. No, 10 girls. And I have 4 boys. You have 4 girls coming. No, I don't know. That baby girl's going to come, and she's going to need you to love her. She's going to be hungry for that. If she doesn't get it from you, doesn't mean her hunger goes away. She's going to be tempted to try to get it from somebody else. And there we see that. We see that over and over in this. She's hungry. You know what's amazing also, before I move on, that her hunger for love doesn't overwhelm her desire for a man who is full of godly character. She's hungry for love, but she's not willing to receive it from just anybody. And that tells us something about her. It tells us something about Solomon, what she's about to say about him, but it also tells us about her because that's what she was attracted to. She was attracted to a man of God, and I think that that is a really important part of our young ladies, but also our young men, that they would be godly. Verse 3, look what it says. Because of the savor of thy good ointments, thy name is as ointment poured forth. And so his testimony is as, his name is as ointment poured forth, speaking of his relationship with God. And that's the parallel we see there. We see ointment used over and over in the scriptures, showing that this man is rightly related to God. And so, men, no matter if you're married or not, you need to make sure that you're right with God. Because that gives us really the character that, will attract the right kind of girls, number one. And number two, it'll be an example to the younger generation of men who also need to be godly and not just fulfill or satisfy their lust. We need to be examples by being a godly man, full of character, rightly related to God. It says next that in verse 3, therefore do the virgins love thee. What she acknowledges here is that in the eyes of others that are related to this person, it shows that the right kind of people are attracted to him. And so she sees who he's hanging out with. She sees who he attracts. And she judges her relationship with him based upon who he attracts and what kind of person that is interested in being around him. And that's important to her. You know, it also tells us by implication that this girl knows what kind of guy she's looking for, which doesn't it? It implies that she takes heed to the counsel of the authorities over her. We find out later she's in submission to her authorities, but she has received counsel. She's wise. She knows the right kind of guy to look for. She's not just hungry for love and willing to receive it from anybody. She knows the right kind of person. She knows how to analyze and see the character of a man to see if he is qualified for her to be interested in. Girls, it's absolutely critical that you are looking at a guy who meets the right qualifications. Because if you don't, and you're going on a gut feeling or a magical feeling that you're having, which are real. Gut and magical things are real. They really do happen. But they can be so deceptive. You have to get beyond that. And the way you do that is by taking heed to the counsel that God puts in your path. Whether it be your father, a godly father. Sometimes we don't have a godly father, but sometimes some of you girls do. And he'll help you. He'll give you instruction. Sometimes it's examples of the people that we know in church. The families, the marriage relationships that we see, or the relationships that we see who have done it right, whether it be at church or other examples that are out there. Or it's our pastor. Whatever it is, we need to take heed to the counsel, and it protects us from getting in bad trouble in this area and being deceived. And so she's done that. She's taken heed to the counsel. Look at verse 4. She says, draw me, we will run after thee. The word we implies that this guy is a leader and he attracts not only the right kind of people, but he has direction in life. I mean, we can evaluate his life where he is because of the people who are around him, but we can also forecast his future. Not just because of the people that are around him, but because we see his character and we see his life. We hear the words that he says. And we don't just say, oh. We don't just look past things because our heart is, you know, in love. And you're so hungry for love, you're looking past things. No, she doesn't do that. She forecasts based upon where he is, where he's going in the future. And she says, draw me and we will come after you. In other words, she's saying, I like where you're headed. And that's where I see myself. That's where I want to be. That's where I want to take my children, our children. I don't want to get 5 or 10 years down the road, have children, and now I want to do this and you want to do that. We can take care of that before we ever get started. The art of attraction. Get attracted to the right person. Get attracted to the right type of person. Know what type of person you're looking for. She sees where he's going. She has confidence, doesn't she? Because this guy's a man of God. If you don't, girls, if you don't have confidence, can I have your attention? Isn't this helpful, ladies? You ladies that have been down this road, isn't this helpful? Wouldn't you just say, hey, girls, you better listen. Yeah, girls, listen. If you don't have absolute 100% confidence that this guy meets all of the requirements and your authority is behind it, being your dad, your pastor, whoever God has placed over you, and you have confidence, go for it, then you better not go for it. You better just back up, take your heart, and retreat a little bit. Take your heart and retreat a little bit. And let's make sure that all the things are lined up according to God's will and God's confidence, which is why we have this list, so you can have confidence. So you don't jump in, step into something that you're going to look back and say, oh no, because our heart will do that. Our heart will take us somewhere when we really shouldn't have had, we really didn't have the appropriate or proper confidence to do this biblically. And so let's do that. Protect, guard your heart, girls. Guard your heart. If dad won't help you guard your heart, if pastor won't help you guard your heart, if you don't have somebody in your life that's not stepping in to help you guard your heart, you decide to guard your heart. You have all the tools you need right here. And guys, let's step up to the plate. Men, let's step up to the plate. Be examples. Some of you young men, you're not married. Look up here. Be this guy. Be this man. Be godly. Be faithful, and God will bring the right one along. He'll do it in you. Amen. Look at verse 5. She says, I am black but comely, O ye daughters of Jerusalem, as the tents of Kedar, as the curtains of Solomon. Look not upon me because I am black, because the sun hath looked upon me. Whenever she says, I am black, what she's not referring to her ethnicity. What she's talking about is her cosmetics. She's been out in the sun, and the chief cosmetic for ladies in these days wasn't, you know, putting a lot of makeup on. It was guarding and protecting your complexion. And ladies would go outside, and they would always have a covering to protect their skin. And, you know, their lightly complected skin was a very attractive cosmetic in those days. But she couldn't do that. Why? Because she was in the field working. She's a worker, isn't she? Yeah, she's a worker. And she is insecure about that, but she's working. She's submissive to her authority. Look what it says in the last part of verse 6. They made me to be the keeper of the vineyard, but mine own vineyard I have not kept. And so she's submissive to her authorities, doing as she is told to do under the guidance of her authority. Listen, guys, boys, young men, you don't want to get involved with a young lady who is rebellious against her authority. Because whenever she gets in a relationship with you, she will be rebellious against your authority. And so, therefore, know the right type of girl. And girls, how about this? Be the right type of girl. Be submissive. Be a worker. She wasn't just submissive and a worker. She was moral. Verse 7 and 8. Tell me, O thou whom my soul loveth, where thou feedest, where thou makest thy flock to rest, at what time? Noon. Look what she says next. For why should I be as one that turneth aside by the flocks of thy companions? So she says, why should I be like those that turn aside, referring to the harlots, the prostitutes of the day? She says, I'm not going to be that way. You tell me where you're working at noon. In the daytime, because we don't need to be ashamed about who sees us together. We're not doing anything we shouldn't. And so she's moral. Guys, you need to look for a moral girl, but you also need to protect and guard her morality as well. That's mutual, isn't it? These two would have been attracted to each other. The right type of person, that's who we're looking for. The person who fits qualifications. And then God will, you know, put someone in your path. Now, today we have some closing comments on this idea of attraction. So number one, personality and looks can what? Deceive. Isn't that true? Yep. The Bible says in Proverbs 31:30, is that in your verse there? Or rather in your paper? If it's not, mark it. Proverbs 31:30, it says, favor is deceitful, beauty is vain, but a woman that feareth the Lord, she shall be praised. So this verse is teaching us about what attraction should be. The depth of attraction. It says that favor is deceitful. That word favor, do you know what it means? It should be right there in your notes. It means grace or charm. Write this word. Personality. Personality. Favor. Oh, this person is so fun. This person is... God has such a great personality. Personality of somebody can be deceitful, can't it? What we're saying here is that if we are seeing the personality, young ladies and gentlemen, if we're looking at the personality of somebody and we're basing, it's one of the fundamental things that we're basing our love, our passion for that person, as we seek to further our relationship with them, we are on dangerous territory because it's deceitful. It's deceitful. Listen, I'm burdened by this. You can't say that you're going to follow or fall in love or follow somebody because you're attracted to their personality. It is a deceitful. It's a deceitful. A part of our relationship. In other words, it's something that can change about a person. Okay? So we can't base moving forward with that confidence. It says beauty is vain. In other words, it carries no value compared to what the real focus of attraction should be in a relationship. Beauty is vain. And we'll explain more about that here in a little bit. Attraction of beauty can be so intoxicating that it causes, watch this, write this word, it causes tunnel vision. This is where you'll find yourself if you are overwhelmed with how fun or attractive somebody is. And you're basing that on your physical attraction or your attraction to how great. Are you listening? How great of a person they are. Oh, they're such a great person. And we just click, you know, we just really click. If you're focusing your heart in those areas, then what you have a tendency to do is get tunnel vision about who that person really is. Because those are both surface things. You think you know somebody, but you don't. And so the first thing we said is personality and looks can deceive. Isn't that true? How about number two? Looks decline, don't they? They decline. Think about, you know, okay, I'm just going to use myself because I don't want to get in trouble. But you go to my house and you'll see our wedding picture. And you'll think, wow. And Pastor, you had all of your hair. Yeah, I got married. I don't know what happened, but you look at those, you know, and then the older we get, you look at the wedding picture and you go, you know, whoa, what happened here? You know, and I don't know. I'm not pointing finger. I'm just saying, you know, a little bit on ours in that way. But our looks change, you know. One guy said it this way. Us men, you know what we tend to get? It's a disease called furniture's disease. Have you ever heard of that? Furniture's disease. It's where your chest falls into your drawers. We don't look as good as we used to. We get the furniture's disease. Yeah, looks deceive. You know, oh, it just looks so good. Well, hang around a little while, you know. Why don't you cook 3 squares? See what happens. Give them a little bit of time. Cook 3 squares. You're going to look at that picture. I remember some guy, Melissa and I were kind of chuckling about this a few days ago. I remember guys I was in college with. I remember what they looked like in college, you know? And it's been, what, 15 years now? And we're looking back. And I'm going, oh, my goodness, look at these guys. Wow. Oh, bless your heart. 3 squares. I'm telling you, they have like 5 squares. They're not looking the same. I'm just simply saying our looks change, don't they? Write this word. We look different than our wedding pictures indicate. Except for my wife. She's beautiful as ever. And that is the truth. How about this one? Marriage then begins the what process? Downhill. Oh, no. Yep. That's what happens. So if you're basing it on that, then it's shallow, isn't it? It's shallow. Yeah. Some of the ladies are like, man, I don't know what I got into here. Number 3, what else do looks do? They cancel out, don't they? You ever heard this about a lady, you know, or a guy actually? You know, she's cranky. She's hard to live with. She's selfish. She's angry. She's really just a bitter person, but she's got great legs. You won't hear a guy say that because it doesn't matter how good you look. If you have a rotten attitude, it cancels. You see? So let's note this verse. Did you write this verse, Proverbs 31:30? Again, favor is deceitful, beauty is vain. Yeah. Write that. Lack of character always cancels out great looks and personality. You ever heard a lady say this? My husband's stingy, selfish, irresponsible, and abusive. But he looks so good. Nope, she'll never say that, will she? Yeah. Noticing the qualities of physical attraction is automatic. Write that word. Noticing the qualities of physical attraction is automatic. But noticing the character and spiritual qualities requires 2 things. Number 1, discernment. Write the word discernment. Number 2, objectivity. Discernment and objectivity. You have to know, listen, you have to know the type of person that you're looking for, girls and boys. There's more young ladies than guys here, but I mean, the context of this is to both. I mean, there's a lot of boys, but they're like, whew, you know, thank goodness they're not there yet, but you have to know the type of person you're looking for. And you have to be confident about what God wants so that when it comes to this, I mean, incredibly important decision that you're going to make on who you're going to be involved with, that you will not compromise on these things. That you have confidence in God's word enough to know that you cannot compromise on these things. And that's what it means to be discerning. Know the type of person and don't compromise about it. And if you have any questions about that guy or girl, then you need to take your heart and back up a little bit. Okay? I'm telling you to grab your heart, back up a little bit. And let's sort some things out before we move forward with things. Number 2, objectivity. You know, what you need to do is you need to not let your heart take over. Be objective. I mean, don't look at this person and say, oh my goodness, their personality, their looks, and it just everything that I want in a person, they seem so awesome. But you're so attached in those particular areas that you can't be objective about the whole picture. Are you listening? You 2 boys up here, you need to stop talking. You can't be objective about the whole picture. Like the whole story, everything that we saw in 1 through 8, even looking to the future, all of it, be objective. Know the type of person, don't compromise, and be objective about it so that you would be willing to do this, no matter how hard it is. I'm sorry, but you're not the one. You see? That requires objectivity. Your emotions have to get out of it at times. So you can back away from something that it's not going to be healthy. Yeah. That's why we need to be attracted to the right kind of person, because if you get attracted to somebody and then you find out later it's the wrong person and you didn't put these tools into practice, now you got to back away from something and your heart's already kind of in it. And that makes it even harder, doesn't it? So this is before we date. This is before we move forward with some of the heart things, you see? Who are we to be attracted to? These are foundational things. Looks cancel out. They sure do. So I want you to see the graph. Would you do that? Turn your paper over and look on the back side. I want you to notice a couple of things and how society has it completely backwards. Number one is the body. What does the body do over the course of time? Well, I take pretty good care of myself. Yeah. But you can't help but through the process of time, our body deteriorates. Things slow down. And then you're not able to function. Hey, Nathan's in here. He's not in here tonight, but he and I work out together on Tuesdays and Thursdays. He's young. He's not in here. I probably wouldn't tease him. But he's not here. I'm going to tease him. He's young. And we get out there, and he knows all this stuff about working out. And I don't know a lot, but I know this. I'm old compared to you. So he's like, all right, here's what we're going to do today. And he tells me all this stuff. I'm like, dude, I don't want to have a heart attack. Okay? All right, let's do it. And one day, I should not have done this, but one day he's like, okay, we're going to run sprints. We're going to do 2 miles, but we're going to run sprints and walk and sprint and walk. You know what a sprint is, right? That's when you run as fast as you can. I'm too old to run as fast as I can. But anyway, I tried. And I get on lap number 2, and then my right calf was like, oh, man. I was like, oh, this is pathetic. I'm getting old, Listen, whenever we are looking for somebody and we're interested in what they look like on the outside, it's a part of who we are that deteriorates. Doesn't get better through time. Some people might take care of themselves, but our bodies deteriorate. But that's like number one in the Hollywood realm, isn't it? It's all about how you look. It's all about how your fitness is. It's all about how you take care of yourself and how you eat. If you eat clean, if you don't eat clean, if you're skinny or whatever. That's the Hollywood mentality. That's why it's number one in the world, but it's last in God's realm. Okay? Not that it's not important, but it's not number one, because it deteriorates through time. Number two is personality. It also changes. Think, oh, well, they'll never change. Well, you're wrong. They will change. Because when you get married, they'll have a huge smile, and they're like, oh, my face is going to smile. And then later, they'll have children, and they'll be like, ugh. Not my wife, but others do that, from what I hear. Personalities change. That's okay. And I'm talking about guys, of course. I'm not talking about the ladies. I would never do that. But I'm going to step back a little bit. I need one of those shields up here, bulletproof thing. But our personality changes. It deteriorates. And if you're basing your attraction on the physical or how well you connect with somebody, then those are poor things to base your attraction on. Because they change. People change. He's like, oh, well, they'll never change. You're wrong. People change. We all change, you see. And so that brings us to the core. What our relationship should really be based upon. The spiritual. Why? Because the other two deteriorate, but the spiritual should never deteriorate. It should always grow. Always going up while the others are going down. Potentially. Yeah. So we need to do something. Ladies, gentlemen, here's what you need to do. Moms and dads and grandmas and grandpas, you know we need to teach your kids? Here's what you need to teach them. I'm going to give it to you in two words, okay? You can write this down on your paper. You ready? Two words. Hold out. Put an exclamation. Hold out. What do you mean hold out? I mean hold out. I mean wait. I mean wait for the right one. The right type person. Don't get all attached, you know, to these outward attractions that you have towards somebody and neglect the spiritual side. Hold out for the one that is the type of person that you can follow, is going to lead you and your family and your children in the ways of God. It's tough to be unmarried. I know it's true. I have some friends that are unmarried and they want to be married bad. But let me tell you something that's worse than being unmarried, girls. Being married to the wrong one. You say, oh, no, it's not worse. Yes, it is. It's tough not being married, but it's way worse being married to the wrong one. So hold out. Hold out. Until you have confidence, hold out. It's worth it. It's worth it. When you're not dating the right type of person, well, let me say it this way, and this will give us a segue into our next lesson series. If the person that you are allowing yourself to be interested in isn't the right type of person, then why are we allowing ourselves to date that person and to get attached to that person? Whenever we know down in the depths, this isn't the person that I want to get married to. You see? So that's why we need to decide to hold out. Wait until God does something in you that gives you confidence to move forward. And then you won't have to say down the road, oh no, but you'll say, I know, because you have confidence, and that's what you want. So moms and dads, teach your children that. Grandmas and grandpas, encourage your grandchildren to do this. Ladies, hold out. Gentlemen, hold out. Be faithful. God will do it. Attraction, the art of attraction. Next time, the art of dating. We'll do it God's way. Father, we love you. We thank you for your goodness and your blessings. I pray that you'll help us, Lord, to be faithful to you, to hold out, to be, Lord, confident before we do anything. Pray for our young people that you'll help them. Help them, please, in Jesus' name. Amen. Let me have your attention. We're going to have invitation. Before Miss Marilyn plays, let me say this. Moms, dads, grandmas, grandpas, if you're burdened about kids, I want you to pray for them, okay? I would encourage you to pray for them right up here. Girls, if this is a burden for you, then I think that you should be here to pray too, okay? Guys, if it's a burden for you, you need to get up here and pray. And let's give God our heart and let him have our confidence. Let's stand together. Miss Marilyn, please.